opportunity. And so I hope that together we will grow and we'll have an opportunity to really explore things that we perhaps never even thought of. I mentioned in an email a note that I had sent as I was finishing up this recess that I want to think about the search for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's something that's going to animate my year and my thinking and my learning and my teaching, following a lot of what I had been thinking about this summer and developing my own personal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that is an overarching goal, so why is it that we are studying the cities of Israel? Like, what possessed us to make that decision? Why does that make sense if this is our overall goal? And so what I want to focus on together with you today is not one city. We're going to do one shiur as a general hakdama klalis, an overall introduction to this concept of studying the cities of Israel. And the answer to that question, the reason why we're going to study these cities, is actually because we're going to learn something about ourselves. And through learning about ourselves in this way, we can learn about our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam and learn something about him too, kivyachol. And that's really the goal. Now, even though we're talking about our series is going to be on cities, the truth is it could really be defined more broadly as places. But that didn't sound as exciting, and it's not as easy to research, although there's a lot of research about that too. We're going to focus on cities. These cities are places. These are what we would call in Hebrew, makomos, makom, a place, makomot. And so I think that's really the place to start, which is, what does it mean? What is the significance? How do we understand a makom? And once we understand what that is and how it relates to us, then we can understand how each of the makomos that we're going to explore really says something and reveals something about us and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the makom, of course, the ultimate makom, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he is makomo shel olam, Chazal say. He is the place of the world, so to speak. Well, how do we understand that idea of makom outside of the Ribbono Shel Olam? And it applies to him too. But we say every time when we daven, the concept of Kedusha has two parts to it, right? There's the Kedusha of Yeshaya and the Kedusha of Yechezkel. So what do we say in the Kedusha, every single Kedusha that relates to this concept? We say a pasuk, a phrase. What is that? Okay, so that's the first one. That's from Yeshaya. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimekomo. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of blessing from his makom. What do we mean when we say that? That the Ribbono Shel Olam has a makom. So, if you open the packets, for those who have, if you don't, I apologize, we'll make more next week in Yirtzeh Hashem. No, there's an extra one there. Take a look in the Radak. Reb David Kimchi. So we have some more here. Everybody have? So Reb David Kimchi, the Radak, in his commentary on that pasuk in Yechezkel, quotes two opinions. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo. So the Navi Yechezkel is prophesying, is speaking to us about his vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam as it relates to the Beis HaMikdash. Yechezkel is where? Anybody know? Where is Yechezkel prophesying? Right, in Bavel, but he's referencing Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. So this Kedusha that we say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, bottom of the page on page one, he says, I, Yechezkel, heard this prophecy, this voice, this sound. I heard the Rash Gadol. We say this also in the Kedusha before the Kedusha of Yotzer, and we say the same thing again, the Kedusha de Sidro Volatzion, Rash Gadol, I heard this Rash Gadol, Mimekomo. Unfortunately, the reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because people didn't respect the Beis HaMikdash There was an idol. We know there was an idol even that was placed, an icon that was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what did the Rebbe Shalom do? He says, I can't stay here. So he left Kivyachol. Chazal tell us there were 10 stops that the Shekhinah made. First, he left on top of the Aron, you know, the Kaporis with the two Kruvim. That's the place of the Shekhinah. The Rebbe Shalom left. Then he goes one step and further until he's far, far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's nothing left. They can destroy it. So Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, says the Radak. You see in the underline the bottom, Kishasar Mimekomo Me'al HaKaporis Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. The Rebbe Shalom left that special location where his presence used to be, but that is still a source of bracha. There's still a connection to the spot that was the seat of the sanctity. So that's what he says. When Hashem's presence went away because we put an idol there, it's as if Hashem's presence became even greater because it shows that God is connected to the world and that he interacts with us, so to speak, and that when, God forbid, we put an idol there, it shows that God is serious. Our relationship is serious. So Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, from the fact that God is not on the Kaporis, that shows there's a source of bracha. That's the first thing. So what does the word mako mean? It means how we would interpret it in a conversation in Hebrew. Yesh makom. What is a makom? That's it. It's a place. It's a spatial location. It's a geographic location. It's an identity that you can point to on a map and say, this is the makom. It's a makom. The Rebbe Shalom has, in a miraculous way that we can't really comprehend because ain't so if God is everything, but somehow he establishes there's such a thing called a makom. This is the makom. The Rambam says about the Mizbeach, mekomo mechuvan biyoser. It's very precise. You have to have the Mizbeach. Oh, one second, come over here. 1 second. We all have huge thanks to give to Carlos for sending every week. Thank you, Carlos. There's a makom. There's a defined place. The makom is beach is mechuvim biyoser. The makom of the shechina. This the bein shnei kruvim. That's the makom. That's what we always say. Then the Radak says, but there's another way of understanding makom. And he quotes from a Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim. You see the last little tiny line. He just quotes a piece of it. I didn't give you the whole Mora Nevuchim in the package. In the packet, I'll say it out to you. See the bottom, V'achacham HaGodol Rabbeinu Moshe Zal. Who is he talking about, Rabbeinu Moshe? The Rambam. Mepirish, he explains, Mimekomo, top line, the left side, the Radak, Kefi Ma'aloso Ve'etzem Chelko B'mitzius. He says that the word Makom does not mean a place. It means a mila. A mila is a Hebrew word, and it's a Yiddish word. A mila means a quality, a trait, an aspect. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, of his status. The Rebbe Shalom is the source of blessing as it relates to his exaltedness. So I have in front of me, I'll read it out to you. The Rambam says, you know, I have proof to what I'm saying. Chazal have an expression. They say that when you have a child who fills in for their parent, let's say the parent had a particular job, and then the child steps up after the parent vacates that position, they have an expression. It's called memale mekom avosav. You fill the makom of your parents. Right? In English, you would say you fill the shoes. But in Hebrew, you say, you fill their makom. Does that mean that it's a physical location? The parent was the CEO of the company. The child becomes the CEO of the company. So you say, the child is mamali makom avosav. What does it mean? Is it talking about the same office? It doesn't mean that the child sits in the same office. It means that the mila that the father had or the mother had, the child is taking on. That quality, that level. Or we have another example of this, the Rambam says. Chazal used this expression. Machlokes bimkoma omedes. We have an argument, a machlokes. And then there is a question. Maybe the machlokas is resolved. So in sometimes you'll find in Shas, they'll say, no, machlokas bim koma omedes. The machlokas stays in its place. Does it mean that the machlokas had a seat in the shul? Did the machlokas have a place in Google Earth? No. It means the machlokas existed, and then the machlokas still is in its original form. It's in its original quality. It's the same standing, the same status. It's bimkoma omedes. It doesn't mean in a literal place. It means there's a certain quality. Says the Rambam, kolomar bidargasa, in its darga, in its level. You originally had a heated argument, and it's still heated. It's still in its original quality. So now we learn something very deep. That there is a commonality between the concept of a physical location and a quality, a trait, a character. Think about it. When I tell people, now I can honestly say it, I'm from the Midwest. So what does that mean when you tell somebody you're from the Midwest? You know, you have to use it from Latav. I don't want to say, God forbid, you have to be careful. You say, somebody says, I'm from Brooklyn. That has a different, you know, this. What does it mean when I say, I'm from the Midwest? What does it mean? Friendly. Right. Friendly. What else does it mean? We eat a lot of Romanian. What else does it mean? Right. Down to earth. This is the pshat that the Radak is saying. These are not a stira. It's not that the concept of a place and an identity or a quality are in conflict. They're both true and they're interrelated. The place has a certain connotation. If you say you're from this place has a certain meaning, has a quality, has a trait. Says the Maharal, look on page 2. The Maharal says this unbelievably. This is in a Gemara. This is the Maharal, Rav Yehuda Lo, the great Baal Machshava, is living in Prague, 17th century. Maharal wrote many, many svarim, including a commentary on the Gemara, on the Agarata, on the story section of the Gemara. So there's no other way to say it. There's a terrible, awful, painful Agarata in the middle of the Maseches Gittin about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is one of the passages that is permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av because it's so sad. And it's a sequence of stories about the series of events that took place leading up to and then pursuant to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's very sad. So the Maharal comments on this because it's about stories. So the Gemara here is discussing two nechalim. A nachal is a wadi that existed in a place called Bate Yadayim. And the description here, it's hair-raising, it's about how these wadis, which usually ran with water, they were overwhelmed with blood that was flowing into the water from the victims of the Roman destruction. That's the context of the story. But what interests the Maharal in this story is that it was a place that Chazal identify as Bate Bikas Yadayim, the Valley of the Hands. So geographically, there was a place, and maybe we could unearth it, we could find out, you know, and one of the things that we're going to be sharing over the course of this year, I'm not a historian, I'm not an archaeologist, I'm not a geographer, but I know people. So I've been in touch with some very amazing people who have done archaeological research and geographic research. So there are people who might even be able to tell you today where is this confluence of wadis. But it's not just a place. Well, that name says it's called Bikas Yadayim. Samaral says there's something to that. Because we're saying now that a mokum is a place, but it's a quality. Samaral says, you see in the underline on the bottom right, da, ki ba'aretz in the land, yesh mekomos meyuchadim umesugolim ledavar echad yosem remakom acher. There are certain places that are predisposed to certain traits. Exactly what we said. He's saying it's, number one, it's true on an agricultural level. You can go here to the west side, to the Garfield Park Conservatory. It's beautiful. And they have done it. It's beautiful. They have palm trees, and they have pineapple plants, all kinds of amazing things. You know why they could do that? Because it's inside a greenhouse. This Mokum, Chicago, is not mesugal for growing pineapples. It's not mesugal for that on a physical level. It's not mesugal for palm trees. But you go to Miami, you go to Yericho, Ir HaTamarim, and it's nonstop palm trees. Different places are mesugal for different things. They have different qualities. Even the grass, if you walk barefoot in the grass here outside our houses here in Skokie, in Chicago, the grass has a certain feel. In Florida, in Miami, the grass, it has a very like prickly, coarse, right? What's the pshat? It's a din in the makom. This makom, this place, has certain attributes that they grow certain fruits and certain grass as opposed to another makom. So Maharal says every makom, every place, has its quality. Has its quality of things that it grows, and it has its quality in terms of its identity. It's true on a physical level, and it's true on a spiritual level. So the Maharal says, Bikas Yadayim, it's Makom Miyuchad Lamidas Hadin. It's a place that is associated with the Mida of Din. What is Din?
Judgment.
Strictness. Where do we find, think about it, in the Tanakh, in the Chumash, in Sefer Bereshis, who had Yadayim? Yadayim Yidei Esav. Esav is the personality of Yadayim. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a place where terrible calamity took place, where Jews were murdered by Yadayim. Yadayim is the force of Esav that is Makatrik, that God forbid, it prosecutes us, it criticizes us before God. So Maharal says, this name, this place, it's not accidental that it was in Bikas Yadayim. This criticism of the Jewish people, this tragedy, took place specifically in Bikas Yadayim, because Bikas Yadayim is a place of harshness. We know, and now as you're starting to put it together in your mind, that everything in life exists on two planes. It exists on the surface level, on the outer level, on the physical level, and it exists on an inner level, on a spiritual level, on a soul level. So every place has the things that are specific to it on a physical outer level. There are places in the world where they grow the most beautiful flowers. Certain times in Israel, because they have that kind of climate, you can drive and you can see enormous fields of sunflowers from one end to the other. I don't know if anybody else thinks that it's beautiful. I find sunflowers are just exceptionally unusual. And you see them rows and rows and rows. So that's a physical expression of this makom. This is a makom of sunflowers. But what the Maharal is telling us, and we know this, is that it's also true on a soul level, on a deeper level, that there's something about this place which also has its own spiritual identity that's probably connected to the idea of sunflowers or something else. And that's going to be expressed, the Maharal says, in the name of that place. So you're thinking already now as we're going along, yeah, the places in Israel, these names and these places, they have great significance because they're reflecting something on the physical level, but also on the deeper level, on the soul level. And the Maharal takes this idea one step even further if you turn to the next page on page 3. Because the Maharal says, amazingly, that the word makom, mem, kuf, mem, makom, it's the same letters as another word, as the word mekayem. What does the word mekayem mean? To complete, to establish, to exist. Something that is a makom, it's a place, is associated with something that is miskayim or mikayim, that establishes. What happens if you dislodge something from its makom? What happens to a plant when you dislodge a plant from its makom? That's it. It's not mitkayim. The makom is essential to the mikayim. We see this with people sometimes. You take somebody, they live in a certain milieu, you uproot them, and you transplant them somewhere else. Sometimes it's successful, but sometimes it's very unsuccessful. Because the makom, says the Maharal, is mikayim. So it's not just that the word makom has two definitions. That there's the definition of the space, and there's the definition of the quality, the identity. And it's not just that these two definitions are interrelated, that there's a connection between them. It's that they are inseparable. Because when you have an identity in a certain place, you have a certain quality, you're accustomed to something, and you uproot that, it will not exist anymore. If you have, let's say, a hot pepper. If you're a farmer, you grow hot peppers. They grow a very specific climate in a specific environment. They're used to this darga, this makom. You're going to take this pepper, you're going to pick it up, dig it up, and put it somewhere else. What's going to happen? It's going to die. Because the makom was makayim it. The place and the quality of that place that enable it to live. So the what's the discussion here? This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara is talking about the concept of gullus, of exile.
We didn't die. Like they put you gave Florida before Miami. They brought those palm trees in. They weren't native there, and they managed to do.
Oh.
We as Jews have managed to establish ourselves all over.
Very good. Oh, excellent. So you have to figure out what's our makom. Our makom could be on multiple layers. We started by saying that the Ribono Shel Olam is Makomo Shel Olam. So on one level, we have a makom that's called Eretz Yisrael, which we'll talk about, of course, over the whole year. But there's also a makom, Meloch Al Eretz Kavodo, and we are connected to Makomo Shel Olam. So even though we may have left the physical confines for a long time of the land of Israel, we're still connected to Makomo Shel Olam. Yes. So the Maharal here is talking about Golos. So take a look on the top line, left line. And this is where we start to bring it back. Ein lecha davar she'ein lo makom. Where is that from? Maharal says, Pirkei Avos. Everything has a makom. V'ha makom no sein kiyum ledavar shu b'makom. That place, it gives nourishment and sustenance to that entity. V'lekach nikra makom shu makayim hadavar she'omed bo. It's called makom because that place gives existence to the thing that exists there. Ein lecha davar she'ein lo makom. Everything has a place. So let's say a car has a place. A plant has a place. A person has a place. We all have a makom. And that makom sustains us. If we uproot from that makom, you're going to be out of place. You're not going to have any kiyum. Yeah.
There's one thing connected with what Shelley says. We have to bring our K-rations with us. We have to bring the Torah, that bag of seeds and fertilizer, to this other place that will make us be Makayim.
Okay, so the question that you're raising, tell me if I'm getting it correctly, is the issue of, when we talk about a makom, is that always fixed? Are we talking about what's in actual, or are we talking about what's in potential? We're talking now about the deep essence of something. By example, the land of Israel, our land, hundreds of years, it was under foreign rule, the Turks and the Mamluks and the Brits, and the place, they couldn't make anything out of it. Nobody could make anything out of it. But you bring Jewish people back to the land of Israel with a couple of shovels and t-shirts, and lo and behold, So this idea that there is a makom, it could be that that quality of makom of Eretz Yisrael relating to the Jewish people was there all along, but you couldn't tell because we were in exile. You bring Jews back, all of a sudden that makom starts to become alive again. It could be that, I don't know, until they brought the old Jews to Florida, they didn't have poverty. I don't know. I don't know how that... Yeah.
It's the other way around, too.
That what?
Because the Jews, when they went to Israel, failed or didn't do as well.
We kept moving.
They came to Israel, the Jewish nation.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's... The Maharal talks about that elsewhere. It talks in the concept of Golos, what it means that we're exiled. It's a two-way street. You know, we can't do mitzvahs when we're in Chutz Laaretz. How many mitzvahs can you do outside of Israel? Unfortunately, not a whole lot. You go back to Israel, you double or quadruple the number of mitzvahs that you can do. And the same thing for the land of Israel. The land of Israel today is not yet at its mitzvah capacity because you don't have most Rov Yoshevei Olam. So this idea of Makom is that it's interconnected. You need the people for the Makom and the people need the Makom. It's all related to each other. But what we're realizing is that it exists on so many layers. It exists on the physical layer of a farm, of growing peppers and growing pineapple, but it's really on a deeper level. So now we talk about the plan of what we're going to study. Why are we picking cities in Israel? So take a look at the Gemara on page number 4. The Gemara has a amazing ha'ara. The Gemara there is talking about is the sixth parak of brachas, where it's talking about brachas on different foods. What bracha do you say on pilpulin, on peppers? So the Gemara is discussing how it's on the bottom right. Okay, maybe it's not the biggest print. Sorry, should have enlarged that a little bit. Pilpulin, says the Gemara, ulalametcha, that pilpulin grows from Eretz Yisrael. She'ein Eretz Yisrael chaseira klum. Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Even pilpulin, which is an unusual varietal, grows in Eretz Yisrael. She'ne'emar Eretz asher lo b'miskeinus tochabo lechem, that you won't eat food in Israel that's miskein, you won't be lacking anything. Lo sechsar kolba. Everything is in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, in America, maybe you can find a place where they grow this particular variety. And then in Mexico, you can find a different variety. And those are the delicious, beautiful varieties. You know, we had the wonderful privilege of going for the first time with our children to Michigan for our summer trip at the end of the year. So we took them picking blueberries. They had mamish, delicious, delicious blueberries in Michigan. And then I found out that they have Michigan and Indiana were like in the heart, in the blueberry belt of America. So that's right. So we're between the blueberries there and the cherries in Wisconsin, and we're all covered. We're all covered. So in this makom, it's miyuchad for blueberries. And then in Mexico, it's miyuchad for avocados. And it's the whole world. You find everything in the world. But says the Gemara, if you want to know one place where they have everything, 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 it's Eretz Yisrael. Everything that you want to find is on a deep level in Eretz Yisrael. It's true from a geographic location. Think about it. It's a tiny little country. You have mountain areas and you have plains. You can go, people, even secular Jews or non-Jews, they go to Israel for vacation. People go there for vacation because they have beaches and then they have water hikes in the north. You go to the Dead Sea, you have the lowest place on earth, and then you have the Hermon, you have people going skiing. Lo sechsar kol ba. In Eretz Yisrael, you have everything. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam's land. So Fashtesach, of course, it's a microcosm of the whole world. So you have pilpulin that can grow there, and you have wheat that can grow there, and you have delicious citrus fruits that grow there. You can find everything. So when we're thinking about the idea of exploring Makomos, these Makomos that we're going to explore are Dafka and Eretz Yisrael, because that's where you're going to find everything. Eretz Yisrael will have all the makomos that we're looking for, They're going to be somewhere. Yeah.
Only at the right time of the year.
Oh, good. So that's also, there's a whole nother concept you're pointing out, that there's something called Zman, time. Right? There is a nexus in the world of Kedusha between Kedushas Makom, sanctity of place, and Kedushas Zman. Not every day is Sukkos. Right? And not every day do you have Honeycrisp apples growing. Not, and when I, in Karen Biavna, when I was in the yeshiva, so sometime we had oranges. We made orange juice.
You had oranges?
We had oranges. Spoiled. Spoiled kids.
We didn't even know how to spell it.
But when did we have oranges? Only in the season, that oranges were in season. Because there's a concept called a zman, a time, exactly. So now, let's bring it all together. We're saying that a makom is a physical place, and it has an identity, it has a quality. And that these are interrelated, and that the makom establishes its makayim, this quality. And that Eretz Yisrael has everything. How does it relate to us? It relates to us on two levels. The first one is in a letter on page 5. Two dimensions how this relates to us. It's the Hebrew tiny letters, page 5. It's in the volume of Igros Haraya, the first collection of letters of Rav Kook. You see the date on this letter? There you go. It's October 22nd, 1906. Where is Rav Kook living in October of 1906? He's living in Yafo. He made Aliyah several years earlier from Europe. He's the chief rabbi of Yafo. And he's writing a letter to this Rav Yehuda Leib Falman. I don't know who that is. And this person who receives the letter gets very honorific titles. He's a relative of Rav Kook. He says, this is my uncle. So in the footnote, it says, the brother of the mother of Rav Kook, Perazlata. And he gets a lot of honorific titles, this uncle of Rav Kook. The letter, unfortunately, is about a machlokas about how to navigate institutional politics in the Jewish world.
The same.
Some things don't change. How to navigate different tzedakahs and whose name goes on the envelope and whose name is on the address. These are the things. This is what it was. This is mamish what the letter is about. Whose name goes on the address and how they relate these. What are you going to do? Yeah. Jews. We love Jews. We love Yidden. This is the problems. Okay. So Rav Kook is very worried that this machlokas between these Torah institutions is going to cause strife in Israel. And it's already created some tension. You can tell from the letter that there's some tension. And part of it is about the kavod, whose name is on the letterhead. Part of it is about prioritizing. Where do you distribute funds? Who gets first? How much? How do you decide? Allocations. These are real serious questions. They're not new. How to allocate funds. So part of the story in this letter, in the question of allocating the funds, has to do with different places because there were different needs. So one issue here has to do with allocating funds to Hebron versus people in Yerushalayim. For many hundreds of years, Jews from Europe sent money to the Chalukah to support Jews in Israel. There was a Kol Al Chabad, I think it still exists today. Kol Al Chabad, that's part of what's referenced in this letter. Sometimes you'll get envelopes from them in the mail, or you'll see in Yerushalayim, it's a fundraising thing. So they're trying to figure out how to prioritize. So Rav Kook says, look, if we want to talk about prioritization in terms of funding allocations, whether it's for teaching Torah, learning Torah, for people, for stipends for learning, and for building, you have to understand that Yerushalayim is at the top. Yerushalayim, he says, is kolel all of Eretz Yisrael. And that's at the top. He quotes many Ma'amari Chazal to emphasize the centrality of Yerushalayim. And he says that, we know that many people of the generations, even if they lived in other places in Eretz Yisrael, they have tried, they have sought to live in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is that most sought after spiritual center that has to take priority over other cities in Eretz Yisrael. That's the baseline that Rav Kook is arguing. So now Rav Kook has a very interesting question. He says, well, if that's really true, that all of our spiritual energy, and he says literally, Ki Mitzion Teitzor Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, he says, so why is it that over the generations, everyone hasn't just picked up and moved to Yerushalayim? Why is it that the most spiritually sensitive souls, the great tzaddikim, have not moved to Yerushalayim? Why is it that there were prophets? Most prophets, the Gemara says, prophesied in Yerushalayim, but there were prophets who lived elsewhere. Eliyo Anavi, Eliyo HaTishbi, Eliyo HaGilodi. So Rav Kook says something fascinating. You see on the left side, the letters, we'll follow in the letters so it's easier. A, B, C, D, you see on the left. V'al gedolei hatzadikim ein lahakshos klal. Don't ask on the gedolei hatzadikim, my time of bachru b'shari ari hakodesh, afilu hayim yahu yecholim l'sheves b'Yerushalayim. There's some people who can't live in Yerushalayim because they can't afford an apartment there. And they couldn't in the times of the Gemara, and they couldn't in the times of the Navi. So that's why they didn't live in Yerushalayim. But there were people who could afford it and chose not to. So why, says Rav Kook? End of line B. Shebavadai, it's certain. Kol ir umakom sheba arzeinu akadosha, every city and place in our holy land. Yeshlo shoresh ubechina bikedusha bifnei atzma. It has a root and a quality in sanctity which is distinct. And he quotes from the Sefer Chesed Avram. Go to line E. Va'afilu b'derech ha'pashtus. Even on a simple level, yesh l'kol makom u'makom chibas hakodesh miyuchad b'fnei atzma. Every place has a special identity. And from the individuals, we're going to learn and extrapolate. L'mashal, line F. Po ir hakodesh yafo tibanev esikonein. Right? Where is Rav Kook living right now? Ayafo! It's not till later. Until after World War I does Rav Kook settle in Yerushalayim. He's living in Yafo. He says, you know, there's something very special about Yafo. Yesh lechabev, you should love it. Line F. Mitzachi gvul hamesuman betorah seino hakadosha gvul yam. It's called in the Torah the gvul yam, the western border. That says something about the unique quality of Yafo, of Jaffa. Umitzad sheba halach Yona hanavi olav shalom. Yona went there. Distinct. Shebavadai kama v'kama tikunim hishrish bali chasal adoros. By Yona going there centuries ago, that left a spiritual imprint on that place. So when I live in Yafo today, I am feeling, connecting to, and channeling a spiritual quality which was implanted here by Yonah. It's something special about this place. Uba huvu hadovros l'shlomo hamelech. They brought, you know, where did Shlomo HaMelech get? He had to import. So they brought things to the port of Yafo for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's another quality. He goes on. Like it's in Divrei Yomim. Quotes a Yerushalmi on line I. Nasa hanes l'niknor, kam kein po ahir hakodesh ben amal Yafo. There's a famous story in the Gemara about the gates that were being brought on the sea and that there was a shipwreck, but the gates, they floated to the land, the Shari Nikanor. He says they came up on land in Yafo. He says that says something to me about this place, that it's unique, that it's distinct, that it's its own identity. And therefore, says Rav Kook on line J, Afal pish Yerushalayim chaviva ma'od. You see it inside. Even though Yerushalayim is very precious, v'kolel v'kudushas ha'kolelas b'chlos, it covers everything, v'yeshuva konon lakol, you have to settle there first, v'kol makom. Kol echad, every person, shehisik al pi pratius shorish nishmaso, line K, every person who drills down to their inner essence, to their soul, shu shayach l'kedusha hamiyucheres hapratis hashayeches la'osa ir hayakovea badi raso. The people who felt that their neshama was connected to that channel of godliness, they settled there. Every person has a makom, because every person has a different maila, different madrega. The word makom mitzad, their identity, the quality. So somebody, they might be a yafo dikiyid. They feel that the quality of their neshama is at home, it belongs, it's miskayim in that makom. And therefore, that's going to be their avodas Hashem. That's going to be their connection to God, not in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is for somebody else. But my connection, I might be a Yafo Jew. I might be a Tzfat Jew. I might be a Yerucham Jew. Who knows? But every person. And he says that's why the tribes were, you know, broken up into different places, because each tribe has a different quality. It's reflected in a different color in their flag. The flag is about an expression of identity. So every tribe had a colored flag, and every flag was pitched in a different makom. If you were Shevet Naphtali, your makom belonged in this place. If you're Shevet Dan, you belonged in a different place. That's where you feel comfortable. That's where you belong. That's where you're going to thrive spiritually. It's your makom. And so Rav Kook says, that's why there were prophets, there were Nevi'im, who lived in different places. Yes, most of them lived in Yerushalayim, but lots of people lived in different places.
Look how he describes his love for Eretz HaKodesh.
Right? Yes. So where are we picking these cities? We're not picking cities where they grow, you know, blueberries in Michigan and avocados in Mexico. It's Dafka, the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Everything is in Eretz Yisrael because this is the microcosm of the Ribbono Shel Olam's world. That's where you're going to find the Omek. There is godliness everywhere. Malocha la'aretz kavodo. We say a brach on the blueberries that we pick in Michigan too. But it's Eino Dome. You want to go really deep in the roots, where some would say the roots. You want to go really deep, you got to find a place, a makom in the land. Everybody, Chazal say, everybody has a Dalet Amos. So the first takeaway now is, we all have a place in Eretz Yisrael. We should start thinking. Am I a Rehovot Jew? Am I a Yerushalayim Jew? Am I a Beit Shan Jew? Am I a Tzefaria Jew? You know, Tzefaria, we have a small tiny Moshav. We all have a place in Eretz Yisrael. We have a different character, so we all identify with something different. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is from the last page. Contemporary, very important spiritual leader in New York, a thinker, Rav Moshe Wolfson. Take a look. He quotes from the Tikkun HaZohar. I don't know anything about Tikkun HaZohar. We're going to take him at his word. This is the deep end of the water, and I'm still just like in the kiddie pool, shallow end. Bottom left column. This is from an English rendition based on his essays in Emuna Sitech. This one is called Wellsprings of Faith. But it is related to the mystical concept that every individual is a microcosm, a small world that contains in miniature everything that is found in the world at large. Since each individual is a microcosm, and since in the world at large there is a place we call Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which it contains the Avos, it follows that each individual must possess within himself his own private Ma'aras HaMachpelah. What we said was true, that yes, every Jew, like every plant, has their makom in Eretz Yisrael. And we can think about, what's my primary makom? But that's not to the exclusion of this idea that we have all the makomos. Each one of us has within us a little Tzfat, a little Tveria, a little Be'er Sheva, a little Ashkelon. The goal of our learning this year is to explore these places on this deep level. To learn about either A, what's that makom, that avoda, that connection to Hashem, which is unique to me, that's my primary connection. But B, to learn about all the other cities. Because even if my primary city is not Ashdod, although I love Ashdod, but I have a little Ashtikal Ashdod. I have a little Kvutzat Yavne. I have a little Bnei Brak. Eretz Yisrael is a microcosm of the world. We, as a person, are a microcosm of that land. There are three dimensions to everything in life, and this brings it all together. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. This is a basic building block in the world of Chassidus, that you have a concept, and that concept is expressed in three ways. Olam, it's expressed in the world. It's expressed in a makom. So, for example, Yerushalayim. It's expressed in a shana, in a time. So it's not surprising to me that on Kabbalah Shabbos, when we sing Lecha Dodi, we actually switch themes. We talk about Shabbos, and we talk about Yerushalayim, and nobody cares. Nobody thinks that's a big deal, because it's the same concept being expressed in the realm of place of makom and in the realm of time, Shabbos and the place of Yerushalayim. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, the person. The tzaddik is the personality of Yerushalayim and Shabbos. We are going to explore this idea of makom because it enables us to figure out a little bit more about ourselves. And through that, we can understand the shorish of our neshama, of our nefesh, of how we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now if someone asks you, I thought they're supposed to be talking about finding God. Why are you studying places in Eretz Yisrael? We understand exactly why. Because to find the Ribbono Shel Olam within ourselves, isn't this a great tool? We can delve down into these makomos, which give us a window into the character, into that makom of Baruch Kavod Hashem mi makomo, the makomo shel olam, that is the place, but it is a window into the madrega, into the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in essence of ourselves, of what our shorish neshama is, both primarily as our individual makom, but also as the microcosm of all of these makomos. So I'm hoping that this convinced you to come back at least next week. And if we're still into it next week, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to begin next week with Chevron, next Sunday morning. Thank you all for coming.